So, you know, from my perspective, Brent's perspective, reviews are not just investments, but the part that you're, when you're talking about investments, make sure decisions you're making are sound and not just quick and emotional.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Glad to have you back inside the Retirement Cafe with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. I am Ben George, and today we're talking about the annual investment reviews. This is being recorded towards the beginning of 2021. So maybe you are getting through with that process or about to get to that process with your financial planner. We want to talk about whether or not it's actually really helping you, because you might think, I got to go back in and do a review. Does it really actually matter if I go sit down and go through this? But it is important. And we'll talk about that on today's episode of the podcast. Dan and Brent, what's going on? How are you?
Doing good. Great. Good. Sunny day in Michigan.
Yeah.
Can't beat
a little
that.
Chilly, but it's sunny.
It's cold, actually.
What is, when it comes to reviews, do you guys, I mean, is this happening throughout the year, or do you kind of pencil in first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, anything like that?
Yeah, it really depends on clients and what their needs are, right, for how often they have reviews and what we focus on. But generally speaking, there's reviews at different periods throughout the year. We think it's important. Obviously, we focus a lot on planning and taxes and things. So, like, tax return time is important to make sure we're not missing anything that, you know, opportunities for the current year, but pretty much throughout the year, I would say.
Okay. We're going to talk about that process today and how it can really help improve your chances. But also on the other side of that, if you aren't focusing on the right things during these reviews, it might also cause some significant problems. Again, if you want to have a review of your finances afterwards, make sure you visit averywealth.com. That is where you can find Dan and Brent online. There's a contact button there. Plus all of our podcasts are up there, archived as well, front and center when you log on the website. So very easy to find. But you can call them directly as well. 517-783-1695 is their number. Well, let's talk about reviews then. Let's start off with really kind of how it started. What is the origin of the review? Has this always been a part of the process?
Well, I think it's interesting, right, Brent?
Yeah, I think at some level, it's probably always been a part of it. But it's probably been a lot more sporadic than maybe once a year, once a quarter.
Yeah. You look at like the history of investments and planning, and, you know, most people, like, it kind of started with brokers, right? Yeah. They were selling investments. Like, you see the old shows, buy, sell, and all that.
Yep. The guy in the suit and the,
right. Like Charlie Sheen or like I don't know, some of the Wall Street, was it? Yeah. Anyway, back those. But the point is like, back then, oftentimes reviews were more about really sales.
Yeah.
Like, what could they sell someone additionally, right? So, like, what would they do, Brent? What do you think a normal review might look like?
I think
like?
They might. This one's done really well. I think we should probably keep that. That one's not doing so well. Maybe we should switch it to this. And by the way, we're going to get a nice little commission when that happens. You know, so I think that that's probably, it was a sales tool, right?
Yeah.
These are doing well. These aren't doing well. It's all based on what already happened.
Yeah. And I would say 100% that's right. Like, it was treated much more to push product, right? And the other thing that I think, and maybe so, it might still happen to some degree today, filled with technical jargon, right?
Yes.
So, like, the goal really wasn't to educate and to help people.
It was to wow you with how much someone knew.
Yeah, right. And then also, like, to, like, make you think, that person's so smart, they know what to buy and sell.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, we know in a lot of times probably didn't help people very much at all.
No, maybe even hurt them.
Right.
Right. This is one of the scenarios where it's probably not helping you a whole lot.
Yeah. So those types, the origin or the beginning, first take or first draft of reviews, if you want to think of it that way, they really probably weren't focused so much on long-term success, although there probably were some advisors out there that did a great job with that, but more like short-term results, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they were based on. And so, you know, basically, that's kind of stuck with people through generations.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask a lot of people, why would you review your investments? What might they say? Like,
I mean, they're just going to be talking about return, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all they're going to focus on is, what did this return? How did that one do? That's not good enough. And it's not really designed as a part of a plan or helping you achieve something. It's more just like, what percent return did you get?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where we start getting into investment reviews, if not done properly, could be causing more problem than success, right? So that's what we want to get into and talk about today.
And I guess when people head into these reviews, they kind of approach them probably in different ways. I'm sure some people are very hands-on with their finances, right? And other people are very passive, or you know, some people probably procrastinate, right? So what are the three ways that people head into these things?
Well, I think the first one's what they don't do anything.
Yeah, nothing, right? And look, we've seen times where this isn't even a bad thing, right? Like if you have a sound investment strategy and it's something that you want to stick with for a long period of time, and you don't really, and you're just trying to accumulate for retirement, not changing anything might be okay on the investment front.
Yeah, like right? A quick story on that. Keep the names to protect the innocent, but I read this story or heard this story a couple of weeks ago. There was a guy that had worked at this place for years and years, and when he started, it was the company he started the 401k. Like so, it was like 30 some years he worked there, and he always put in, and they had a decent match. So he always got his match, but he literally never looked at it for that whole time, which I can't even imagine.
30 years.
Never even. He's like, I don't know. It just comes out of my check. And so he gets to be like 62, 63, and they're kind of giving him some crap at work. And hey, we'll call him Bob. Bob, why don't you retire? He's like, I can't retire. I don't have any money. I'm like, well, I thought you know, don't you do the 401k and stuff? Because I don't even know what's in that. And so what does he find when he opens that envelope? He's got over $1 million in his 401k.
Wow.
And like, you know, and so like, he's like, holy cow, I got a bunch of money. Great. And the moral of the story is, right, sometimes like if you have structure and discipline and you leave it alone, sometimes really good things happen, right? Yeah. So there's also another, on that same line, there's a study done by, I think it was Fidelity or Schwab, doesn't matter. They were looking at their highest performing accounts over some period of time. And they started reaching out to those people to say, hey, you know, what did you do to like have so much success? Well, what they found was that most of the account holders had either forgotten about that account or they had passed away. Like, and it was just never, like, nobody knew about it, right? So, like, there is some value.
That's built-in structure and discipline, right?
Exactly,
yeah. That's just staying with staying the course.
Yeah, but I mean, if we get into this further, you know, typically there are people that don't do anything, but there's other people that are kind of do-it-yourselfers, right?
Yeah, so this could be, I mean, it could be really detailed in looking at all kinds of different performance metrics and things like that. This can lead to a lot of issues too, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you think about it, even if you're doing it yourself and like you've got your spreadsheets and you have all that stuff laid out, the reality is most people are probably still doing basically kind of what we talked about earlier. They're looking at performance, right? And they're also looking at the news and what's happening, and so their structure might be, well, I'm going to pull a little out of the market here, I'm going to put more in here, or I don't like this fund, or I like that fund, right?
Yeah.
And so even though their heart's in the right place and they're paying attention to it, it may actually not be providing a lot of value for their long-term success.
Right, right. Because it's not tied into any type of a plan necessarily. It's just focused only on the return, maybe. And when you do that, you probably are going to be switching strategies, always chasing a return.
Well, if you think about it, you're like looking at stuff and saying, well, what should I do? Well, what's happening on the news? I mean, that's kind of what we're drawn to, right? Because we still, like we've talked about in prior podcasts, that connection, the economy and the market are two different things, but we can't get that. We can't separate them, right? As investors, it's hard for us to understand. So oftentimes we might make changes based on that, and it's not going to be a great, great thing long term. And then finally, right, there's people that work with advisors. Now, this is all over the board.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it could look a lot like the broker model that we first talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It could look a lot like doing nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people might be working with advisors.
Just put money in, right?
Yeah, they're not meeting with them at all. Or it could look like the do-it-yourselfer, but the advisor is the one that's really pushing the metrics. And
yeah, the buys and sells.
It's very complicated and so on. So it could be all over the place.
Right, right. So, I mean, it comes down to the same thing as like what we're trying to figure out is this going to help you, right? So there are some advisors, you know, hey, we're advisors and we don't do it that way. We do it a little differently. And there's a lot of people that do. So what the point of today is really figuring out what should a review look like and what should we be doing in order to really be putting ourselves in the best position to have success. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Let's start with the bad news then first. As you mentioned, like you can be all over the board with these reviews, right? So what are some of the problems with traditional reviews then?
Yeah, I'd say focused on short term, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like what happened, you know, this year. It's an annual review. So how did you do this year? And not looking at how you've done over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a huge problem in the investment world to begin with.
Yeah.
Like everything is, well, look at your last 12 months, or they're cherry picking some period of time that did well, right? And so when you start doing that, I think it just causes stress. I do, because you're like, oh, we need to do something because that's...
Well, it's never going to be good enough, right? Because there's always going to be something else that did better.
Yep.
So, well, I should have been doing that. Let's do that now.
Yep.
You know, and so it's not focused on any long-term goal or plan that you have in place. It's just, what are the numbers and how do I make them better?
Yeah, which you can never do.
Right.
Because it's like, like you said, there's always a better... Like, you know, my dad used to say, there's always someone richer. There's always someone poorer. Right? It doesn't matter. And then I think the other big thing is that oftentimes it's just about investments. It's not talking about any changes you make, how it'll change the likelihood of you having success with your plan, with your goals, with what you're truly trying to accomplish. So you're totally eliminating that part, which should be a primary focus. So for sure. And then what do we have? I mean, really, fear and greed can be very reactionary and emotional. And so what we want listeners to really get out of this is, you want it to be well thought out, just like your plan. You don't want to make emotional, quick, fast decisions with money. I don't care what you... Usually that doesn't end well. So like with this, when we start talking about what's a good plan look like, you know, we can get into some of those things.
Yeah, because you don't want to, you know, talk about what's wrong with the process without providing some solution. So what are the better approaches then for the review process in terms of trying to get a positive outcome?
I mean, I think one of the big things is, first of all, we're talking about investments versus your plan, first and foremost, right? So one thing is just focusing on one little piece of it, just the little foundation. You know, you have to have your investments right. That is critical to being successful. But those investments should be structured to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve, right? And so it has to start there. So we need to be thinking about more of the things that we can control, right? Because we can't control the markets. We have an investment that we know is going to do well over a long period of time, but we can't control the short term. So what can we do to help our situation in the long term? And those are other things outside of the investments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, long term better than short term always, right? Yeah. Try not to be too reactionary. Try to think things through. Measure, like if you're thinking of some changes, I think before any change should ever be made, you should know what's the long-term impact on your plan, right? We don't make changes just because, I don't like that anymore. Let's try this. Because maybe that return wasn't exactly what you wanted. By the way, that return you got might have been great for your plan. It might have put you in an awesome place to achieve your goals, right? You know, you really have to be patient. And the other thing is, we get caught up, and we've talked a ton about investments, obviously, but annual reviews or semi-annual or quarterly, whenever it is that your cadence for meeting with your advisor or doing it yourself, you got to think of the other things too. You know, there's other core areas of your finances that need to be addressed. You know, things like your taxes, you know, and things like Social Security selections and benefits. And I mean, insurance, like
debt.
What type of insurance do you purchase? Like life insurance, disability, like liability, you know, what about your estate plan, right? So like when you think about this stuff, there's all these other things that have huge impacts on your money today and tomorrow, charitable giving strategies, right? That should be included in a good review and it should be systematic, right? So, you know, from my perspective, Brent's perspective, reviews are not just investments, but the part that you're, when you're talking about investments, make sure decisions you're making are sound and not just quick and emotional.
When you talk about little things, if somebody's listening that probably like me doesn't know exactly what those little things are that I should be trying to control, how would you explain that to me?
So I think, I mean, if you're, let's just talk about a few different places where people could be in their life. So some things are, if you're in an accumulation phase, so if you're saving, right, this is how much are you saving and what types of accounts are you using, right?
Yeah.
Are you using the appropriate type of an account? Are you using a Roth? Are you using your 401k? What types of accounts are you using? And are those the proper ones to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, right? I mean, little things. Here's a great example, like along the lines that Brent's talking about. So let's say you're getting started and you're kind of starting your savings program and you're at work where you've got a choice of a Roth, you know, option in your 401k or a pre-tax option. Maybe you're not making very much money yet and you don't have very many taxes. Well, a little thing that can have huge long-term effects is at that point of your life, you save to the Roth versus a pre-tax. Doesn't sound like a big deal, right? Oh, as long as you're saving. And you're right. The key is that saving.
Yes.
But that little adjustment can make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, compounded over decades, right?
Yeah.
For a young person.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, so that's a great thing. And so now, and if you're retired, like little things might be simply, you know, what's your distribution plan? How is that working, right? Are you staying within reasonable guidelines for withdrawals? You know, or are you going down a road that's going to put you in a really bad spot, right?
Yeah, and are you taking the money out of the appropriate accounts,
mm-hmm.
right? From a tax standpoint, things like that can make are these are just little things that you're in control of, right? We already determined that on the short term, you're not in control. You're not ever in control of the market.
No.
But you can position yourself to be successful on that side over a long period of time. So we're just trying to get at these little things that you should be reviewing every year.
Yeah. Next thing really is like, and this doesn't seem like, I mean, people look at investments all the time, but really the current risk level you're at, is that still putting you in the best position to achieve all your goals? So like, you know, one of the tools we use, Brent and I can look at all different risk levels based on your needs moving forward, not in the past, past is done, yep. and what portfolio puts you in the best spot moving forward, right?
Yeah.
To have the highest probability of reaching all the goals that are important to you. I mean, and it can be pretty simple if you've got that structure in place.
Yeah. And even we, you know, we've talked a little bit about like the return and volatility and things like mm-hmm. that. And so are you still comfortable with that? So, I mean, you can always stay aggressive even through retirement. We have people who do that, but are you comfortable doing that? Is that going to, I mean, it may not change your success, but is it going to change how you feel and your comfort level and being secure in your plan?
Yeah, it's great. I think for everybody, you know, one of the biggest things that you can generally do some things about is our taxes. So one of the little things is every time you do a review, look at your current and future tax situation. And again, with software, this stuff can be done yep. pretty quickly. And so those are things, you know, might not seem like a lot, but if you can identify like a tax time bomb down the road, you might be able to take some action and change that. And so it can
right.
substantially change your tax liability. And I mean, I know Brent had a client recently where he was able to do a pretty significant Roth conversion. It's going to save him thousands
oh, yeah.
of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, it was we projected like $140,000 in tax savings over his lifetime by doing this. He didn't have a whole lot of income current, you know, in these current years. And so we were able to convert quite a bit of money and do that for him. And it, I mean, it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I mean, those are things like it's just paying attention, right?
Right.
Now go back to what we were talking about. If you're just looking at what mutual fund did well or which right. ones didn't, and you're just manipulating those based on that, all these things that change your wealth significantly get missed.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's not about paying the least amount of tax in this calendar year. So if that was the case, the client that we were just referring to would never do a Roth conversion, right? Because
right.
you have to pay the tax for
right.
it.
Right, right.
Right, but it saves him so much money by prepaying that tax.
Yep.
And
yep.
so it's like, how can I pay the least amount of taxes over my lifetime, not how can I pay the least amount in 2021?
Right, right. And a couple other little things, I mean, they're all important. Consistent rebalancing, so making sure when you have that market volatility, you have a program in place where you're consistently, you know, selling high, buying low, adjusting to keep your portfolio in the same risk level you're comfortable with. If you have taxable accounts, you know, paying attention to your gains and losses in those, and anytime you can manage some taxes there, it's super important. And the last thing I think, you know, and sometimes it gets missed a bit. Talk about the things that are scaring you.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're out there, you're listening to this, you know, part of a good review is don't ever be afraid to tell your advisor, hey, this is scaring me. Talk about it. Get it out on the table because, you know, like Brent's wife's actually a, you know, licensed counselor. What does she, you know, what does she say? She's
controlling what you can control.
Yeah.
Right.
But and talking so, about it
yeah,
too, right?
Get yeah, it out there. Getting it out there. And so we know that you're going to have ups and downs in the market, right? And so if we've built these into your scenarios and you're able to talk to us, hey, I'm concerned that if we have a drawdown in the market of 25%, you know, that it's going to put me in a really bad spot, or I'm worried that this president or that president being mm-hmm. elected is going to be doomsday for my
right,
for my
right,
retirement.
Right.
Let's talk about that and say, hey, well, let's look at what happens if that happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it really does happen where the market goes down significantly, let's show you what that looks like. And a lot of times, I mean, if they have a solid plan, it's not going to impact them because we're going to see those things.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
In a 30-year retirement, guess what? The market's going to go down several times over that period of time.
Yeah. But that key is just talk about stuff because, you know, part of success with money, a big part of it is really being comfortable. And that's one of the things that should be part of that annual review.
Well, you mentioned the long-term investments and that looking ahead, but let's talk a little more about the short-term versus long-term, because it seems like, you know, when you look at that, it should be just, hey, you know, those investments that aren't doing well right now, maybe you just get rid of those, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are things to that. So like there's different reasons investments might not be doing well, right? So like as an example, you could have like if you have a truly diversified portfolio and you have things like in emerging markets and in international companies and U.S. companies, well, guess what? Some years, part of those aren't going to do as well compared to others, right? That doesn't mean they're not a good long-term investment. Matter of fact, they may have a very similar return long-term to the other parts that are currently doing well. But when you, another side of the coin is when you have a mutual fund that maybe has an active manager that has consistently underperformed the part of the market that they're managing, right?
Yeah. So if you have an emerging markets fund and emerging markets gets 10% a year and you're getting 4%, that might be a problem.
Right.
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 Is what you're getting at. And
yeah.
So we want to make sure that it's capturing the part of the market that you want it to capture.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we know emerging markets is going to be volatile, but over a long period of time, it's going to do well.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so if, as long as we're getting that, then we should feel pretty confident with it. If we're way off of that, we may have a problem, and that might be a reason to change something out.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, so that's a really important thing to understand is like, is it really doing poorly, or is just that part of the market not having the same return as another part where you look at them side by side, you're like, oh, I like this one better. It did 10% this year. That only did 4%. That might just be part of a good diversified portfolio.
Right.
But the other scenario where somebody's underperforming that part of the market consistently, it's time to throw that baby out and get it replaced, right? But, you know, I want to kind of get a little deeper into that thing, that area, because give you a good example of short-term versus long-term. So in a well-constructed, academically-based portfolio, they're going to basically always tell you, you should own small value stocks. So that's a category of stock. And the reason is historically speaking, they've had really good returns, right, over long periods of time. That doesn't mean they're higher every year.
Or even every 5 years.
Right.
Right.
So we just looked at a simple example, right? Over what, the past 5 years, what are the numbers there, Brent?
So over the past 5 years, the S&P 500.
Large companies, right?
U.S. large companies was up 97% over 5 years. Small U.S. small value companies were just up 71%.
By the way, that's both phenomenal.
Yeah, they're, I mean, it's great. It's great. Right. Right. There's no shame in either one of
no,
those.
No, no, no.
Right. And then if you go back, if you go back to 2000,
mm-hmm. So about
around
20 years,
around
right?
20 years,
which I think most people consider that a little bit longer time frame than 5, right? I mean, that's a reasonable long term.
Yeah. And it's enough to allow the premium parts of the market or something that we anticipate to do well over a long period of time mm-hmm. for that to happen.
Right.
But U.S. small value companies around that 20-year period of time were up 306%.
Wow.
Versus the S&P, which was 164%.
So they tripled in compared to, to
it's, almost, I mean, yeah. It's pretty, I mean, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Right. But if you just looked at a short 5-year period of time, you might say, well, this
I
isn't working. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, I don't want any money in that.
Yeah.
This is getting me way more.
Right.
Right? But you'd be losing long term. You know what's funny? That reminds me of what we were talking about. So all the time, small little things you do repetitively over long periods of time can make a huge difference. That's a great example. 306 to 164.
Yes.
Over 20 years. And so that doesn't mean, by the way, you don't own the S&P 500 or those large U.S. stocks. That's not what that means at all. It just means that understand that's what true diversification is, and you make sure you own parts of the market that tend to do a little better over time as well. Because for years, they'd say, oh, you should just own the S&P. That's it. You know, well, definitely some lessons to be learned there for sure.
Yeah, those are great lessons and pretty interesting numbers when you look at it 5 years versus 20 years. So, I mean, just by based on what you're saying, it seems like you know, the ideal approach is, you know, make your financial decisions probably first with a qualified advisor or financial planner that can help you out, and make those decisions kind of with the outlook of a long-term, right, results, rather than, hey, what can I do right now to maybe get through this tough year, like last year, like 2020. You want to be looking long-term versus that short when you're making these decisions.
Yeah, and it's hard, Ben. I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, last year was hard for everybody. It was a difficult year, and when you have that kind of stuff going on, what you just said is, oh, let's just, you know, survive right now, right? And so it's just, when it comes to money, you know, the best lesson is that stick to your long-term plan.
Yeah. And that's hard. We're talking about diversification. That's hard to do, mm-hmm. right? Because there are going to be significant periods of time where maybe the S&P 500 does beat that. And so does that mean your diversified portfolio is broken? No.
Right.
It just means over this short period of time, it just isn't doing as well as the S&P, right? But over a long period of time, we know that's going to work. So it all comes down to like structure and discipline over a long period of time is what's going to get you to where you want to get to.
Yeah. I mean, we have tools that Brent and I look at all the time. It's really interesting. When you follow a really structured program over, I mean, let's face it, retirement's 20 to 30 years, you know, working up to that's longer than that many times. It's amazing how everything works out when you do it that way.
Yeah.
Like you get a better result pretty much every time. You know, when you try to do these other methods, like, you know, getting in and out and trying to find bad performance, all these other things, more times than not, it just really doesn't help you. And it causes a bunch of stress.
Yeah.
You know, so that.
And I think that, well, I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's just, it's a matter of having a plan, right? Mm-hmm. For the investments, we have a plan. For, you know, living and savings and distributing the money, we have plans. If you have a plan for something, even if that plan's not perfect, you're way ahead of somebody who hasn't. I mean, like, can you imagine? So we just had the national championship stuff just happen. Can you imagine if the football teams went out there, they didn't have a plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, what play? You're drawing it on their hands. Like, it would look completely different. I mean, it's crazy to think about, but it's the truth. Why is it okay to go through your life without any financial organization or plan,
right?
Whether it's trying to achieve a goal or how you're investing, all that stuff.
People have better plans for vacation.
Yeah, they do. They
do. What restaurants are we in? I mean, they got it all laid out, right?
Right.
And it's, you're right, 100%. I mean, it's just like anything is like good planning will put you in a better position almost every time. You know, good, whether it's running a company, running your own finances, teaching a class, like it doesn't matter. It's all the same.
I think we all realize it's important, and just some of us procrastinate or just don't take the time to sit down and actually take care of your finances, maybe because you don't want to actually have to follow a budget or a plan specifically. You don't want to be maybe tied down, but I think everybody understands the importance of it, especially after listening, you know, to the conversation today, the short-term versus long-term, and making sure your review process is actually helping you is very important. So let's kind of close it up and put a bow on it by giving a summary to everybody on really what a good review accomplishes versus one that's just focused on returns.
Yeah, I think the first thing is it continues to, like, a good review is going to put you in a spot where you're confident that the choices you're making, not just with your investments, but with a lot of other things like we talked about, are putting you in the best spot to have success. That's number one, first and foremost, right? And then secondly, like we talked, that plan should always be the focus. Like it's we always talk about being holistic. Well, that's a big part of that. Like, you know, if all the choices you're making are kind of stress test with the plan to make sure they're actually helping you, you're more likely to make good choices, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a huge one. And then the last thing is when you walk out after a review or your Zoom meeting or whatever it might be in today's world, you know, you should feel good, not confused, and not uncertain about what actions you're taking, right?
Yeah.
You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the technical jargon early on. Like, that's not good, you know? And by the way, if you're in a review and you don't understand something, ask.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't sit there and be like, okay, because you're afraid that you might not look like the smartest or the sharpest knife in the drawer. Who cares? I mean, it's way more important that you understand and that you can, like, walk out of there with confidence that you're doing the right things. You know, if you can do that, your review was a huge success.
Yeah, a sense of ease walking out of there. You don't want to be stressed out when you get done with your review and still concerned. You guys also have a checklist, right, on the website that people can access?
Yeah, we're going to put it right on the episode. So you can, like, basically, if you go to the website for this episode, it's just a what issue should I consider when reviewing my investments? And it gets into a lot of detailed stuff. And we didn't want to bore you to death and go through all these things because there's a lot. But I think it's helpful in making you kind of think about some different things like taxes and like what you're funding, you know, all kinds of different really good areas like investment objectives and issues. So yeah, we highly recommend take a look at that. And as always, you had questions on any of this stuff, you know, feel free to pick up the phone, give us a call. We can schedule some time to answer those for you.
Yeah, that checklist will be very helpful. You'll find it on averywealth.com. Just go to the resources tab, podcast underneath that, but also the podcast you'll find on the front of the website as well, along with a number of other resources. So once you get done listening and after you hit subscribe to the podcast, which we'd greatly appreciate, then go ahead and check out the website, averywealth.com. And again, if you want to have a conversation over the phone with Dan and Brent instead, you can always do that at 517-783-1695. Well, the annual review process is probably underway for a lot of folks, or at least you might have one coming up, but hopefully now you have a better sense of kind of what you're looking for and what you hope to accomplish.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.